Bukhari, Kitab al-Ilm, that, and also in Sahih Muslim, that someone who teaches people, is in the gathering of the people, can tell everybody, listen, everybody, and everybody will keep quiet. Because the Prophet did that, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Hajjatul Wida. When the people were moving, he wanted to start giving his khutbah. He told the people, he told some of the companions, tell everybody to keep quiet. And people kept quiet. Yes, that is sunnah. Lacking. It is not that when the Prophet speaks, alayhi salatu wasalam, then the companions start making a hell of noise, and then he starts saying, please keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet. It's not from sunnah. It's not known in sunnah. That the Prophet is talking and people are just, Allah, subhanallah. It's not known in sunnah. And that's why the companions will describe, radiallahu anhum, that when the Prophet speaks, alayhi salatu wasalam, to them, they keep quiet so much that you think there are beds on the head of each of them from wudu, from the kind of tranquility you find in them. You keep so silent, listening attentively, as if there are beds on the heads of each of them. You see that the companion says, radiallahu anhu, that they will sit down as if there are beds on their heads. Is that the situation that can beds remain on their heads when they are shouting, Allahu? Can beds remain on their heads? The Prophet is talking to them, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then they keep silent. And then they are shouting, Allahu. Will beds remain on their heads? It's very, very common. It's very, very, very common that when someone speaks and makes a point, people start shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And that person shouting, Allahu Akbar, if you ask him what the person just said, he won't remember. He won't remember. You just know that he quoted a verse of Quran. It's very common when someone brings a verse of the Quran and he's talking. He says, Allahu Akbar. It's not known in sunnah. And then the speaker has to now, anyway, for khair for him, he says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ. The fact that Allah took the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for al-Isra and Mi'raj is fitna to people. From it, a lot of people became siddiqun, people like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And from it also, a lot of people became mal'uneen. Accursed. Now, some believed him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was truthful, who was sadiqul masdud, and they became siddiqun. And some people disbelieved him, and they became maloonin. You understand? So, when things like this happen, that the person is talking, I don't know who the person is, has to say, keep quiet, kusurara, a kind of, please, let me go on. He saw that he was talking, as I heard him talking now. It's sunnah for him. So from that incident, some people are getting closer to Allah. Some people are doing something that is mukhalafa to sunnah. So it's like a fitna to the people, from which people will make benefit and from which people are also at a disadvantaged position. It's not from Adam at all. Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, alayhi rahmatullah, one of his students said, this kitab is in Tazkiratul Hufaz of Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Al-Zahabi, Ahmad ibn Muhammad Shamsuddin, that when they sit in the halqa of Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, nobody moves. They are so silent. If someone wants to ask a question, he asks this question. And he described the way the companions described it. And he added what the companions did not add to the kind of serenity that you find in the environment. He said, it is as if there are beds on their heads. He says, أَوْ كَأَنَّنَا فِي صَلَاتِنَا. He said, all that we can say as if we are in salah. You know how when people are in salah, you only be hearing Imam reciting. So, this is how it should be. So everybody will be listening. Everybody will be trying to understand from what the person is saying. And then from there, he gets what he gets. And what he does not get clearly, he asks about it. But that someone is talking and people are just, Allah, Allah, it's not known in sunnah, it's not known from the power of the predecessor. Allah, Allah, Allah. Today, inshallah, We'll be reading the 11th hadith in the Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Al-Hadith Al-Hadi Ashar Al-Hadith Al-Hadi Ashar, the 11th hadith. In that hadith, Imam Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said, عن أبي محمد الحسن ابن علي ابن أبي طالب صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وريحانته رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دع يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. Said radiyallahu anhuma, da' ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. Rawahu al-Tirmidhi wa al-Nasai, wa qala al-Tirmidhi hadithun hasanun sahihun. Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said, an Abi Muhammadin الحسن ابن علي ابن أبي طالب سبط رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وريحانته رضي الله عنهما قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. This hadith, دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك, is the 11th hadith in the Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi. But it has come as the 12th hadith in the book Irwa' al-Zalil في تخريج أحاديث منار السبيل of Al-Imam Al-Albani عليه رحمة الله. He didn't make it the 12th hadith. It came as the 12th hadith in the book of Al-Shaykh ibn Duwayyan. Because Manar al-Sabil is the sharh of a book of the Hanabila called Sharh al-Dalil. The sharh of the book of Fiqh, for Fiqh al-Hanbaliyyah, called Sharh al-Dalil. So he, alayhi rahmatullah, Shaykh al-Albani, only came to verify the hadith. So the hadith comes as the 12th hadith that is mentioned in the book by Shaykh ibn Duwayyan, while bringing the evidences that support the position that the Shaykh who wrote Al-Dalil had brought. So Ibn Duwayyan was bringing these ahadith as sharh for the matn of one of the books of the Hanabila in the Afrika. So it occurs as the 12th hadith in Al-Irwa' al-Dalil. And it is in it that he mentioned, alayhi rahmatullah, that this hadith was not only reported by Abu Muhammad, we'll come back to him inshallah, Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. The hadith has also been reported by Abdullah ibn Umar and Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhum. But it is most popularly known as the hadith of Abu Muhammad, Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib Al-Hashmi radiyallahu anhumah. So here, the riwayah that is brought by Al-Imam al-Nawawi in this book is that of Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. So don't be surprised, you can see that hadith being mentioned to have been reported by Abdullah ibn Umar. Yes, Abdullah ibn Umar has a riwayah. You can find it, Lama yaribuka ilama la yaribuka, being mentioned to have been reported by Anas bin Malik. Naam, Anas bin Malik has also reported the hadith. But the one that has been used here by Al-Imam Yahya Sharaf al-Din al-Nawawi Abu Zakariya is the riwayah of the grandchild of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abu Muhammad. So he said, an Abi Muhammadin al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this hadith has been reported by Abu Muhammad. So the kunya of this companion, Hasan, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, is Abu Muhammad. And he was actually given this kunya by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was giving birth to the announcement was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the Prophet went to their house and asked Fatima radiallahu anha, his daughter, his beloved daughter, and said to her, "Where is my son that you have just given birth to?" And Al-Hasan was brought to him. So he named him. There's a riwayah that mentioned that before the Prophet got there, Ali ibn Abi Talib had named him Harb. But this riwayah is not authentic. So it was brought to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he named him Hassan, Abu Muhammad. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave Hassan his kunya, Abu Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave him that kunya. And this is from the evidences that children can take kunya. That is, children can be called Abu Fulan, Ummu Fulan. And it is not common amongst us. Rather, people start getting names, me, kaza kaza, Adi, Amidele, Amegeri, these kind of things. And they gather names, maybe five or six, they list it for the child. So, but names that are attributed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his manner of naming children, they are not usually used. One of which is giving a child a kunya, even at birth. So one evidence for that is this occurrence to Hassan ibn Abi Talib. And that's why, radiallahu anhuma, Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib and his brother Hussein, if one will pull us about them, they are so beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now. And it's a great thing for them, radiallahu anhuma, that they were born at the time wahy was being revealed from the heavens. Such that they became part of tashri'. That these things that happened to them became sunan for those, every person who will come after them. When they were born, things, not only that, when their mother was married, things that happened to her became things that Umam will take after. Like the fact that it is obligatory that a man gives a woman something from her mahar before he has conjugal relationship with her. It's taken from the sunnah of the marriage between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima radiallahu anha. The fact that a man must give, as a matter of obligation, the woman something from her mahar. Yes, it is common in our environment that people say that when the mahar is not given, there is no marriage. There is no evidence for that in the sunnah. There are companions who married women and they did not name Hatta. They did not even name and agree on a mahar, and the woman was already in their house, in his house. In fact, there was one, this hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, and it's an authentic hadith. One of the companions was about to die. So he remembered that he had not given his wife her mahar. So he called the people and said, "Look, when the ganima, the blessings of war are distributed for one of the battles we are engaged in, my own share, remove so and so and so and so for my wife, and that will be her mahar." He was saying that when he was about to die, when death had approached him. So, and she had been his wife all along. So ulama say this is evidence that that the mahar had not been given is not evidence that the nikah does not exist. Actually, the nikah exists with the sigatul act from the wali of the woman. Once the father of the woman says to a man, "I marry my daughter to you," khalas. What will follow immediately is ilanul nikah. This is obligatory announcing, even if it is him alone and him alone. The father of a girl alone, the man who is giving, whom he is giving his daughter alone, he says, "This is my daughter." Take alone, the nikah is valid. The next thing that must happen from then onwards is that it must be announced that that had taken place. Else it becomes nikah sir. That's not permissible in the Sharia. Especially if the both of them, the father and the man, agree to make that a secret. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rus, that is batil. that the nikah is batil. In fact, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu is reported by Imam Tirmidhi to have said that no one will do that except the people of zina. So nikah is not agreed in secrecy. Once it is done, and especially when the people are not very many there, and then it has to be announced. Ilan al-nikah is from the wajibat of nikah. It's obligatory. It must be announced. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said in his Sunnah, he says, كان على هذا سلفنا الصالح. The companions and those who came after them before, this was what they were upon. But as regards the mahar, it is not all obligatory that the man must bring all the mahar before the wife comes to his house. But the hadith of Fatima radiallahu anha and the marriage with him, as was given by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, indicates that before the man could hadith with her, he must give something to her. It was said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in authentic narrations that he was insisting, Rabbi alayhi salatu wa sallam, the Prophet was insisting, was telling Ali ibn Abi Talib, give this girl something. Give this girl something. Give this girl something. Anything. Just make sure you give her something. So the ulama say the fact that the Prophet was insisting with Ali ibn Abi Talib that he must just give her something indicates that it is obligatory, because he will not insist on something except that it is obligatory. So if the woman says, I want ₦1,000,000, and he can only at the time afford 10,000 as advance, so to speak. He can still say, I have 10,000, but maybe before I die, I'll be paying it gradually until I can complete the payment. So this hadith of Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali ibn Abi Talib makes us understand that something must only be given. It's not obligatory that, like people say, rukun. It's not a rukun of nikah that the mahar must be given. There's also another practice about issues of mahar, announcing the mahar. It's just ala babi afdaliya. Announcing the mahar is just better than not announcing, because the Prophet announced some of his muhur. And because it was some of his muhur that he announced, some he did not announce, ulama say it means sometimes we may not announce too. So because when people attend marriage ceremonies, they are asking, where? Nawane sadaki. You don't have an authority to ask. No company was asking him, how much did he marry so and so. But he said, when he said how much he married to Maimuna radiallahu anha, he said, I married Maimuna with so and so. The companions who reported said he gave her, she was giving so and so. Others too, they will mention so and so and so. So this makes us understand that these matters are dynamic here and there. So, but what we are saying is that for people like Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein, radiallahu anhumah, they are from the great name, because even the marriage of their father, their marriage between their father and their mother was a marriage that people have to start taking after how to marry. And so we are their blood. But when we marry a child, we shave the hair. The hukm is the same for a male child or a female child. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, as it is reported by Imam al-Darmi, alayhi rahmatullah, Abdullah ibn Abbasman, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, innama nisa'a shaqa'iq al-rijal. He said, the women are the hearts of men. So when he commanded that the hairs of the male children should be shaved, then it should be shaved for the female children too, because they are the halves of females. Except where in the situations we have that, no, this is what we do for men, but we will not do this for women. Like he said regarding the male children. He says, Lilbulani, mother, shatani mukafi atani. He says, Walilla jariya, he says, for the gulam, for the male child, shatan mukafiatan, two equally looking sized rams, or kabshan, or sheep, shatan sheep, kabsh ram. He says, but for the female children, only one. So this makes us understand that, oh, here there is a variation between the two. Also, we know from this, from the hadith of Hassan and Hussein, when the Prophet slaughtered for them, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when their heads were removed, the Prophet told Fatima radiallahu anha, go and measure the equivalent weight of silver for the hairs of your child, Hassan, and then make sadaqah with its equivalent. We know that from the death of Hassan, Abu Muhammad. And many other things. So we know kunya, the sunnah of kunya. We know the sunnah of what we do with the hairs when they are removed from them. There is also the hadith of Azan, that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam first got hold and carried Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, that he made Azan to, in some riwayat, he made Azan to his right ear and then Iqama to his left ear. This narration is weak. So it's not sunnah. Don't do it. It's not sunnah. Don't do it. Also from Hassan and Hussein with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we got the sunnah of making isti'aza for children. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that I seek Allah's refuge for my two children, Hassan and Hussein, like my father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would seek refuge for his two children Ismail and Ishaq. And he will say, U'idhukuma bi kalimatillahi tamma min kulli shaytanin wa hamma wa min kulli aynin lamma. This is what he will do alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ibrahim. And he, because he's been told to follow the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he followed that sunnah and he will do that. But with respect to who was he doing that? Al-Hasan. And then he said. So you see, a child is born and with respect to the child, practices are established. It shows the greatness and the value and the excellence of that child. All of this shows the fadail of Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib and his brother Hussein radiallahu anhu. So the same thing applies to many, that the father or the grandfather of a child can name the child because the Prophet named Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. The sunnah from him. Many other things like that. So from the virtues of Al-Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib is that there are a lot of sunan from the sunnah of Islam that we cannot know except from the fact that it was done to him or he said something or something happened. In fact, another sunnah is that we can get from the actions of Hassan Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhuma is that when the imam is performing the salah and the child is upon him, on his back, he will be patient until the child finishes what he or she wants before he raises his head. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam performed salah one day. And Hassan rose, crawled. You know, because by the time the Prophet died alayhi salatu wasalam, Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib was born in Sha'ban in the third year of Hijrah. He was born in the month of Sha'ban in the third year of Hijrah. So by the time the Prophet died, he was only about 7. He was a very, very young man. I don't want to say a boy. Radiallahu anhuma. Because they are in God. Allahu Akbar. They are wonderful people. Radiallahu anhuma. So it's not very good to refer to people like that as boy. Men. Allah refers to them as men. Ali ibn Abi Talib one day in Kufa was being support. And he read, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَعْهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. He said, these refers to people like Hamza ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Hamza ibn Abi Talib. رضي الله عنه. He says, those are قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Because he died in the battle of Uhud. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَزِلُ. He said, we are the ones. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, we are the ones. منتظرون. كان ينتظرهم لأنه أيضا مات شهيدا رضي الله عنه. علي بن أبي طالب, we are the منتظرون,
Fazan Ahbahu, now those ones have been killed as Mataya. Aminhum man yantazir. We are the ones waiting. Says wa ma baddalu tabdila. They never changed. As the Prophet left them, that was how they were. Alayhi salatu wasalam. From them is Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because some of the ulama like Imam Qatada ibn Bi'ama al-Sadusi insisted that Hassan also died as a Mataya. Because of some of the circumstances that led to his death, he was actually poisoned. So the ulama say, oh, the one who dies from his bottom is a Mataya. So they gave him the hukum of a Mataya. Imam Hassan al-Basri, I think, also has that opinion. But Imam Qatada ibn Bi'ama al-Sadusi was insisting that Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib also died as a Mataya. So he was from the Muntazirun. Hukman, radiyallahu anhu. So this hadith is from Abu Muhammad al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhuma. And like we said, when the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib was just about seven years old, between 6 and 7 years old, when he died. And regarding the both of them, Al-Hassan and Hussein, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, there are a lot of ahadith. Some of the scholars, like Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, have written whole books regarding people like this and their fadail. One of them also was Al-Imam ibn Hajar, Ali ibn Hajar, Al-Haytami, Al-Maliki. He mentioned a lot of fadail of Hassan and Hussein in his book, Sawa'iq al-Mufriqa. Very, very beneficial book, inshallah. And most of the ahadith we brought in that book are from Bukhari and Muslim. Some of them from Bukhari alone. But most of them Bukhari, Muslim. Muttafaqun alayhi. From what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, about these two blessed children, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma inni ahibbuhuma. Oh my Lord, I love these two boys. His two children. I love the two of them. Ahibbahuma. So love them. Saying that. I love the two, love them too. And so the companions also love these two people. It is reported that one day Hassan ibn Abi Talib was working in Madina. So was Abu Huraira, because Abu Huraira lived in Medina at the time Hassan died. So it's most likely, and it happened when Hassan ibn Abi Talib had grown up. The Prophet had died, alayhi salatu wasalam. So one day Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib was walking on the street. Abu Huraira saw him and was smiling. Radiallahu anhu, Abu Rahman ibn Saqr, he was smiling. So he went to him and said, Ya Aba Muhammad, O Abu Muhammad, let me kiss you where the Prophet used to kiss you. Let me kiss you at the place the Prophet used to kiss you. And Imam Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah said, but Hassan ibn Abi Talib removed his shirt from below such that his navel was exposed. Navel became exposed. And Abu Huraira kissed him at the navel. From deep love for him, because the Prophet used to do so. It was reported that each time the Prophet carried them and saw that their mouths were wet, he sucked their tongue. He was really, really beloving to them and dear to him. So he said, Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma. Oh Allah, I love the two of them. Fa ahibbahuma. So love them both. So Allah loved them. Because from what shows love of Allah for people is that the people, we love them. From what shows Allah's love for a servant is that the people, we love him. That's the hadith about that. Quoted by Imam al-Tabarani, the hadith of Jibreel also. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam loved him. There are so many ahadith.
فالإمام النووي سيد عليه رحمة الله that عن أبي محمد الحسن بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه he repeated from him علي بن أبي طالب if we come across this hadith we will discuss him إن شاء الله he said سبت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم I've heard some of the people saying that سبت refers to a grandchild from a girl alone if you add alone you are wrong because it means the two sibt and hafid sibt is a grandchild ibn al-ibn or ibna sibt is ibn al-ibn or ibna so sibt is the grandchild from a female child or a male child it can be referred to as sibt Hafid is the only one that is ascribed to a male child. So Sibt can take for a male child or a female child, but Hafid can only take for a male child. But anyone who says no, Sibt is only for a female child, that is a grandchild from a female, then that is wrong. You can check all the dictionaries that are easily available. Check Mu'jam al-Muhayyit. Also some shuruh of this hadith, if you check it, you find out that they mention this, that sibt can mean a grandchild from a female or a male. But hafid is a grandchild from a male alone. But many of the people used to say that sibt or have said filthy that sibt is the grandchild from the female alone. And then hafid is the opposite of sibt with respect to But this is not right. Hafid is walad al-walad. But sibt is walad al-walad awil bint. It's permissible to mention the two like that. So he says sibt Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam. So we know how he is sibt Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam. How is the grandchild of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grandchild of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he is the child of his daughter. Fatima رضي الله عنها. The only daughter that survived the Prophet Muhammad. The only child, let's say, that survived because he had daughters too. Ruqayya رضي الله عنها and others, Umm Kulthum. They all died before the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم died, except Fatima رضي الله عنها. And she died 6 months after the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, Hassan is sibt Rasul from Fatima radiallahu anha. He said, وَرَيْحَانَتِهِ وَرَيْحَانَتِهِ Rayhana is mentioned to be a flower with a nice scent. Now when you hear the scent, when you perceive the scent, it's very, very pleasing to the sense of smell. Very pleasing. So it is said that when he sees them, alayhi salatu wasalam, it is pleasing to his heart. Ya qurratu aynayhi is desirous of them alayhi salatu wasalam when he looks at them is pleased like someone who has perceived a pleasant scent so that's why he's referred to as rayhan of the prophet they give him raha when he sees them alayhi salatu wasalam so he said radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma so he said anhuma Because he mentioned Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. The two companions were there. And there are many companions whose father were also companions. In fact, there are many whose father and mother were companions. One of them was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. His father and his mother were companions. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu. There is a hadith that's connecting also Al-Hasan and Hussein and Hudhayfa and his mother. And Imam al-Tirmidhi reported hadith in his Sunan that one day the mother of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman was asking him radiallahu anhu that how long now have you seen the Prophet Muhammad? And he said, it's been some time since I went to him. So he said, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhuma, that my mother blamed me for having taken some time before I went to the Prophet. That's why I told her I'll go and see her soon. I'll go and see him. Salatul Maghrib. This Maghrib,
I'll go and perform it and I will stay with him. And I will ask him to forgive me, to ask Allah to forgive me of you, his mother. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad Salatul Maghrib. He said the Prophet was coming, was busy also until Salatul Isha. So when he went up, he went with him. So he was coming and the Prophet was saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, man hadha Huzaifa? Who is that? Is this Huzaifa bin Yaman? He said, Naam ya Rasul. He said, yes, I'm the one, the messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah forgive you and your mother. May Allah forgive you and your mother. So, ma yantiku anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. If he was coming to ask you, please ask Allah to forgive myself and my mother, and say, may Allah forgive yourself and your mother. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. After saying that, the Prophet said something to him. Radiallahu anhu. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna hadha malakun lam yanzil al-ard qat qabla hadhihi al-layla. That there's an angel, this is an angel, referring to him. Perhaps the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was seeing the angel and Huzaifa was not seeing him. But the Prophet was saying that there's an angel that descends this night and has never descended before. Istaghana rabbahu an yusallima alayya. He sought permission from his Lord that he wants to come and say salam, pray Allah's blessings upon me. Wa yubashiruni, and then give me the glad tidings, bi anna Fatimata sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-jannah. And give me glad tidings that Fatima radiallahu anha is what? Sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-jannah. The leader of the women of the people of al-jannah. To every woman who goes into al-jannah, who is our Sayyida? Fatima. The father of, the mother of Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Radiallahu anhu. Not only that, wa anna al-Hasan wal-Husayn, and that Hasan and Husayn, Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah. And that Hassan and Hussein are two leaders of the youth of the Jannah. Wa anna al Hassan wal Hussein Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah. And that Hassan and Hussein are the two leaders of Shabab, the youth of the people of Al Jannah. So every young person who dies and comes into Al Jannah, his Sayyid is who? Hassan ibn Ali ibn Ali. This hadith was recited by Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhuma. So here Al-Imam al-Nawawi had mentioned radiallahu anhuma because it has to do with what? Two companions. One of them, Al-Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the other, Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he said radiallahu anhuma. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib has a lot of fadail. He can go on and on talking about it. Because he lived, like we said at the beginning, at the time Wahyu was coming down. And he lived, he was from the offspring of the one to whom Wahyu came. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So a lot of things, tashri'iyat was coming from him. Radiyallahu anhu. Qala, he said, حفظتُ من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I committed to memory from the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام. Look at what he is committing to memory. What is your own child committing to memory? Find out. It's important. Is it Yahudi? Is it all those songs children sing on the road now that your own child is committing to memory? Because children commit those things to memory. Look at what he committed to memory from the Prophet Muhammad. And Imam al-Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah said, sometimes Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib will just lay on his bed like this and he will recite Surah Al-Kahf, lying down like this. Alhamdulillah alladhi to the end. Wa man kana yarju liqa'a rabbihi. Lying down like this. So he was committing these things to memory. So what is your own child committing to memory? Names of footballers and club names. This is what children commit to memory now. Club names and names of footballers.
They do that from their parents. There's a parent like that. I have to tell him that, look, you will destroy these children. He himself and his child, they're asking themselves, what was the source today? And this that they started talking. No, it was also like, I said, you destroyed that boy. Don't just blame anybody. When you feel destroyed, don't blame anybody but yourself. So the child of a person like him, the boy, if you see him, you think he's just the child of one vagabond on the street. And this is somebody who makes a lot of effort on the part of Sunnah. The boy just walks with jeans and he will think he's a yuppie boy walking. But he's the son of someone so important. At least making a lot of effort. So he's asking, he is not a drunk. And I've had a lot of opportunities to tell him about football publicly. And also silently. The football is bad, bad, bad. He's been there many times when I discuss football. And it's evil. He will just laugh. And when we meet in private, I say, this thing is balanced. And he says, inshallah, inshallah. So he went now, he's talking with his children. How is Manchester? How is Liverpool? Look at what Al-Hassan has memorized on the Rasul alayhi salatu. And that was what they are memorizing from you. Hafiz to me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I committed to memory from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that he said, da' ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. Da' ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. Abandon, stay away from Mayaribuk, what brings you doubt, ila, to abandon that for Malayaribuk, what does not bring doubt to you. Abandon what brings you doubt for what does not bring you doubt. So for example, someone is going to the masjid, made you do, is going to perform salah, and a water just dropped. He saw the water, he dropped the water from, maybe from his splash or something, he touches his skin or his clothes, and he starts doubting, is it najasa or is it not najasa? For him to say, is it najasa or is it not najasa, is doubt, shock. Cool. But the basic thing is that he was pure. He's not doubting about that. So once he cannot be sure whether it is najasa or it's not najasa, we say, da ma yaribuka. Leave that doubt. Forget about it. Ila ma la yaribuka, which is that you are pure. You don't say, let me clean it for safety purposes. No. The safety is that da ma yaribuka, ila ma la yaribuka. You are not in doubt that you are pure. That is the answer in you. And this one that has come, you don't know what it is. Is it pure? Is it not pure? Such that you wash it. It's important to wash anything that is medicine that touches our clothes. It's a matter of obligation. If a medicine touches your clothes, you must wash it immediately. Not washing it immediately is a sin. Not washing off najasa from the clothes is a sin. That's taken from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim also. So, you wash it immediately once you are sure that it is najasa. But once you are not sure that it is najasa, you say, da'a ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. La yaribuka, that your clothes was clean. Like in Yeribuka, is it, should I wash or should I not? So leave, should I wash or should I not wash? Leave it aside. Now, forget about it. Abandon it. Also, someone is performing wudu. He finishes wudu. And he started praying. Something came to his mind. This wudu, there is a problem in it. He started doubting. So after his salah, he's still doubting. Of course, because if the wudu is faulty, not in every aspect, but if the wudu is faulty to the extent that it voids the wudu, then the salah is void.
they start thinking, should he perform wudu again and then come and pray? Ulama say, da'a ma yaribuk. What was the problem with the wudu? It's just that I think I didn't wash my face well 3 times. So I think, not sure. Say, da'a ma yaribuk. La ma yaribuk is that before he started that salah, what was he? Of course, he would not have started the salah. Every person in his right senses would not start salah, except that at the time he's starting that salah, he is sure that he has wudu. Huh? He is sure that he has wudu. Then he started doubting. But when he is sure, that's another issue. When he is sure that I'm not performing wudu, he made wudu, it took some time. The wudu got dictated, he was aware that the wudu was dictated. But he got his mind off the fact that one way or the other, his wudu was dictated. So he was carrying on with the fact that he'd be thinking that his wudu is still valid. And then he commenced the salah. And then he remember, oh, stop, I finished. He will stop the salah and then he will go for his wudu and then come back for the salah. Because what he has remembered is liar. Do you understand? He's not in doubt that the wudu was dictated. This is just a matter of doubt. Was he dictated? Was he not dictated? Go on with the fast. The same thing with fasting. Someone presented you some drinks, not knowing perhaps that you are fasting. And that he didn't drink it because you are fasting. But when you left there, you started thinking, did I drink it? No, I didn't drink it. Did I drink it? Are you in Ramadan? Da ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. Ma yaribuka is that you drank it. Because your absence in Ramadan is that you will not drink something. That one, and you started the day fasting. That one, la yaribuka. Lacking that the fast was broken is yaribuka. And was he humiliating? Did I break? Did I not break? Leave that one for the fact that I'm still fasting and my fasting is valid. It happens also in Hajj. In many cases, people will say they made tawaf. After making the tawaf, they go behind Maqam Ibrahim. They make nothing. And as soon as they finish, they start to say, this is my tawaf. Is it not 6 supposed to be 7? Is it not 6 that I made? Is it 5? Meanwhile, he would not have left there if he was sure that it was 5. He will not leave. Will he leave? Even if that tawaf is nothing, he will not leave. It's just like saying 2 rakat of nothing. If you perform 2 rakat of a supplicatory salah now, it's 2 rakat. That's his way. Except with him. So, the same thing with tawaf. Tawaf is 7 ashwaf. Even if that tawaf is with him, is yani nafl. So, he would not have left that place if he was thinking, if he was sure, let's not say thinking, if he was sure that he made 6, he would not leave. Because tawaf is 7. And he actually intended to make 7. So he made 7 and left. Made the 2 nafil after tawaf. And then came to his mind, this is my tawaf. Now 6 yo. Ah. Now 5 yo. No, it's 7. He started doubting. Ulama say, Da'ma yaribuka. Ilama la yaribuka. He was not doubting when he left the place that he had completed the tawaf. But he started doubting. After the tawaf, that has the tawaf completed, so that ma yaribuk. After doubt, forget about it. For ma la yaribuk. What does not make you doubt? When people go to Jamrah, especially on Ayamu Tashriq, because on that day you have 21 tables to pelt. So 7 at the Jamrah to Asugra, and 7 at Al-Wusta, and 7 at Al-Kubra. So someone will come back to the camp, long distance, Nigeria, long distance. And then comes and starts saying that, Ustaz, I'm in doubt, so what happened? I'm thinking that that's you saw, I only stoned like 5 or 6. After I tried almost 2 or 3 kilometers, more than, almost 5 or 6 kilometers from Jamrah to his tent. That is when the God started coming. Is it 7? Is it 6? All the while he left there, I think, alhamdulillah. He saw, I said, how was it? He said, mashallah. We are waiting for tomorrow soon. Barakallah, see. The Barakallah here. But when he got to camp, he started dancing. Is it 6 or 5? So he said, Da, Maya Ribuka, Ila Malaya. So this hadith has a lot of applications in about every aspect of our deen. In about every aspect of the deen, it has applications. Also in nikah. You meet the father of the woman he marries the girl to you. The girl is in your house now, your wife. They start thinking, Ustaz, maybe, what was the singer that he used? Did he really say that he gave the girl to me? I'm just doubting. He say, hey, Dama Yeribuka. Dama Yeribuka. So the hadith has applications in about everything you do. In about everything you do in the deen, you find the hadith applicable. Dama Yeribuka. Ila ma la yaribuka. Mazal ulama say, إذا تعارض شك ويقين يقدم اليقين. So when there is shak and there is yakin facing themselves regarding a single matter, say يقدم اليقين. We prefer to give preponderance to what we are sure of and forget about the one regarding which we are not sure. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, da ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. Sometimes people perform salah. This one goes to waswas. Doubt, shak, let me not say it's better. Let me say the other way around. Waswas is worse than shak. Waswas is worse than shak. So someone on the wudu, you think this one, perhaps you make the wudu, wants to wash his leg. He starts to, have I rubbed my head? You know, he can't see the head. Do we see our heads? We can't see our heads. So how will he know he has rubbed the head? If it's in doubt, did I rub? He's washing the feet. And he's thinking about the head. Could he have washed the feet? Without having rubbed the head? No. So even he goes ahead, he washes the leg. After he wants to say Ashhadu, he's remembering that, did I rub this head? Before I say this Ashhadu, did I rub the head? He starts thinking. When the Salah says, Allahu Akbar, he starts thinking again, his head. Have I rubbed you? So this is waswas. Ulama say, la yulqat ilayhi. Don't even consider it as anything. Oh, have I polluted? Is it, have I passed the wind? Is it what they call it? English people. Pass wind or pollute? Huh? Is it started? No, there is no verb like started. Have I broken? No. Maybe pass the wind. Is it passing wind? You pass wind. You pass urine. That's when you excrete something. So, have I passed wind? He starts thinking, no, I have not. No, I have. No, I have not. He asks him, well, have you made wudu? He can't answer. He just looks at you like this. I was fasting. This is waswas. People like this should increase in zikr. Lot of zikr. Make a lot of consciously Egypt.
It will send it away the evening light. So ulama say la yustafatulay. Don't even come, just go ahead with your wudu. Go ahead with your salah, go ahead with your nasr. Because Iblis wants to spoil that salah for you. So it makes you sad out. Did I not? Because when he was talking about iman, he says in Namal Mu'minun, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ثُمَّ لَا يَرْتَبُ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَبُ. Then they do not doubt. So they do not doubt iman. So you should not doubt ibadah also. You make ibadah, don't doubt it. Why will I not doubt if I make ibadah? And I'm thinking that I may have problem with ibadah. Say, Da Maya Yibuta Ilamu Allah. That's the evidence for you. And this hadith, Rawahu Tirmidhi, this is the fourth hadith out of Sahihain. In the whole of this book. 11th hadith. He told us in the Muqaddimah that most of the hadith are from where? Sahihain. Bukhari and Muslim. So this is the first hadith out of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. This was reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah, Abu Isa, Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Surah al-Tirmidhi. He reported this hadith. One of the most eminent students of Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah. Imam al-Tirmidhi, if not the most eminent. They refer to Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzayma as Imam al-A'imma because he is also Ibn Khuzayma who has the book Sahih Ibn Khuzayma. He is referred to as Imam al-A'imma, Muhammad ibn Ishaq. He is referred to as Imam al-A'imma because Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim reported from him. And he is their student. Maybe the ulama will place him above al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. Lakin al-Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah, after about 20 years that al-Imam al-Tirmidhi stayed with al-Imam al-Bukhari, he said something. Al-Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah. He said, مَسْتَفَادِ مِنْكَ أَكْثَرُ مِمَّا اسْتَفَدْتَ مِنِّي. I don't think whether we have teachers like that in the world now. A teacher says to a student who has stayed with him for about 20 years that مَسْتَفَدْتُ مِنْكَ, what I have gained from you, أَكْثَرُ مِمَّا اسْتَفَدْتَ مِنِّي, is more than what you have gained from me. How is that? SubhanAllah. Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah, Abu Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, Ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Bardizba, Ibn Mudira ibn Bardizba al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah. So things like these are hardly seen today. So maybe again this is another wajh to say that Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah, and Imam Tirmidhi said, إذا كنت الدنيا كلها وما وجدت مثل أبي عبد الله. All the world, wherever they say there's a scholar, I've gone there. I've never seen the kind of Imam al-Bukhari. Yet, look at what Bukhari said about me. That Mustafatta minni. Ah, Mustafatta minka. Akshar. Mustafatta minni. So Imam al-Tirmidhi was a great alim alayhi rahmatullah. And anyone who has some relationship with his work, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, we know that. He did what his first two teachers did not do. He did what they both did, and he did what they did not do in his Sunan. And Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah, because before him, there were others who had compiled a hadith now. Lakin, there is nobody who made shart siha that I will not put anything in this book except what is sahih. And that's why he named the book Al-Jami'u Sahihul Musnad. So the fourth condition about the book is that it is al-jami', that is a book that will include, he will divide the narrations in the book according to abwab, fikhiyah. So you have kitab al-wudu, kitab al-salah, kitab al-ilm, kitab al-kaza, kitab al-hayd, kitab. It had not been like that, except for Muwatta Imam Malik. But Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah also did not place shartu siha. Haniyan is that Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah said Al-Musnad, yani Hadith Marfu' Zahiran, Hadith Marfu' Zahiran Mutasil Sanad. So Hadith that is attributed, it goes on to the Prophet saying Qala Rasulullah alayhi sallam. This Hadith Musnad. And it has a link chain of narration, apparently. But Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah in Al-Muwatta, there are mawkufat there. There are maktufat there of Nasir. And a lot of mawkufat of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So because of that, remember, every mawkuf and maktuf that you see in Sahih Bukhari, laysa min sharti. They are not from the hassle of the report in Bukhari. So in terms of following Abwab Fikhiya, Imam Tirmidhi followed Imam Bukhari. Imam Muslim did the same thing, lacking. He left the tarjima for the Ummah. Yes, he arranged the hadith on Abwab, but he did not put the tarjima. That is the labeling of the chapter and section headings. He only made kitab kaza, all the hadith on it. But he is making tabweed, but he did not say babu kaza. Imam Muslim, do that yourself. You should be strong enough. So Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi came, he did that. He made those tabweed, following Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah. And Imam Muslim, as we have described. And then he added discussions about ilal al-hadith. They did not have that one. Hilal. Hidden errors in chains of narrations and in the wordings of narrations, in the mutun and asanid of riwayat. They did not have that. He added that one to his own. Within the book and at the end of the book, the one he added at the end of the book is the book that is referred to Hilal al-Saghira. He has another one that is Kabira, or Al-Hilal al-Kabir. He has. He also has Sagir. The Sagir is the one that he has appended to Sahih Muslim, Sunan al-Tirmidhi. That Al-Imam ibn Rajab al-Hanbali has made the sharh that is known as Sharh al-Hilal. It's at the end of his book, Sunan al-Tirmidhi. They didn't do that. He did it. Then he was so given to a lot of ibadah and shedding tears. Imam al-Tirmidhi, he shed tears, he got blind shedding tears. Imam al-Tirmidhi got blind shedding tears. Wal-Nasa'i, al-Imam al-Nasa'i, Ahmad ibn Shu'ayb, Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Nasawi, you can say Nasa'i. You can also say An-Nasawi. Both are correct. So he also reported this hadith in his book, Sunan. He has many other books. Imam al-Tirmidhi also has other books, like Shama'il Muhammadiyah. MashaAllah. The attributes and the manners of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Qadaf. Imam al-Tirmidhi has other books. Same thing with Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, alayhi rahmatullah. Imam al-Nasa'i has the book Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla, like saying a day with the Prophet. But what you should do every day, if I were to translate that Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla, I would say what you should do every day. So it started from when you wake up, what do you say? So you can know it continues to have car. When you wake up, what do you do? It contains adab. You wash your hands. You rinse your mouth. That's what he does, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he will bring the ahadith. That means what the Prophet does. He, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Imam al-Nasa'i, he brought the hadith. Yes, some scholars have said that Amal al-Yawmi wal-Layla was written by Imam ibn Sunni, his student. But what is most authentic, Allahu A'lam, that Amal al-Yawmi wal-Layla is the book of Al-Imam Abu Abdurrahman Ahmad ibn Shu'ayb al-Nasa'i. Alayhi rahmatullahi. He has other books too, like Wafat al-Nabi, the death of the Prophet Muhammad. He has another one, Fadail Muawiyah, alayhi rahmatullahi. He gathered hadith about Muawiyah ibn Ali ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu anhumah. He has many books that he has written, Al-Imam al-Nasa'i. The Sunan al-Nasa'i that we know today as Sunan al-Sughra or as Sunan al-Nasa'i is also referred to as what? Al-Mukhtasar or Al-Mujtaba. Mukhtasar means Mujtaba. Mujtaba means selected. Mukhtasar means summarized. Because when he compiled his book Sunan al-Nasa'i, it was actually a big book that is referred to as what? Sunan al-Kubra. Big. It was said to be containing about 30,000 hadith. So when he presented it, the thing that this is compilation of the ahadith of the Rasul I have made. The Asanid, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Amir said to him, that is it kullu ma fiha sahiha? Is everything in it is sahih? He said, la, he is sahih wa ma dunahu. So there is sahih and what is lesser than sahih. Select for us what is sahih. So that's why some of the ulama say that al-aslu fima ja'alahu al-imam al-nasa'i fi kitabihi as-sunan huwa ahadith sahiha indahu. And that's also al-imam al-zahabi in his book al-muqidha, when he was talking about the fact that there are many ways of knowing whether a rawi is thika muwassakun in the alim imma. One of what he mentioned is that if you see a reporter in Sunan al-Nasa'i, but you have not found any alim saying that this reporter is thika, for people like him, they will say it's majhul al-hal. It's not majhul al-hal. If he has a report in Sunan al-Nasa'i, he was thika in the Imam al-Nasa'i. I don't know how to explain this thing more than this. I think we should understand. Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned that in his book, Al-Muqtada. So, don't say, لَمْ يُوجَدْ لَهُ قَوْلْ جَرْحًا وَلَا قَعْدِ أُقَدْ رَوَى لَهُ Imam al-Nasa'i fi sunan وَالْعَصْلُ فِي مَا رَوَاهُ النَّسَاهِ فِي sunan هُوَ أَحَدِيثُ الثِّقَاتِ. The basis of what he is doing in Sunan al-Nasa'i is that to him, everything he has put in Sunan al-Nasa'i is authentic. Give us the one that al-Aqal Hasan al-Hadith. They say, give us the one that is sahih from the one that is not sahih. So he brought Sunan al-Nasa'i out. It means everything you find in the Sunnah, or at least the word in the language of that hadith is sahih. Because the hadith may be da'if, but it has mutaba'a that he has not mentioned. Al-Aqal Hasan al-Hadith. So, Al-Imam al-Nasa'i alayhi rahmatullah was a great alim of this Sunnah, Abu Abdurrahman. And Al-Imam al-Daruqutni, Ali ibn Umar al-Daruqutni alayhi rahmatullah, yufadbilhu ala Imam Muslim. He mentions Imam al-Nasa'i to be greater and more learned than Imam Muslim. He was asking, Muslim says, أَنَا لَا أُفَدِّلُ أَحَدًا عَلَى النَّسَائِ. I will not say that he is better than Nasa'i. And Imam al-Daruqutni is who he is to the scholars of hadith. Some of those things, well, Imam Nasa'i alayhi rahmatullah is from the great scholars. I was going to talk about Imam Dar-Qutni, but I have to be talking about things that are related to Ilal al-Hadith. So let me not bother myself. But he dictated a book, just like that. He dictated a book of 11 volumes from his head. Dar-Qutni alayhi rahmatullah. Ilal. Ilal al-Hadith al-Nabawiyyah. So you pick all the hadith of Abu Huraira, the errors in it, you just say so-so reported, so-so and so reported, so it's in this report, so-so is wrong, so-so is wrong, so-so is wrong, from his head. And his student who was writing it down said, Wallahi, he dictated it to me. So in Sir Alam al-Nubala, when Al-Imam al-Zahabi was talking about Al-Imam al-Dar-Qutni, he said, إن صح أنه أملاه وقد صح أنه أملاه. If it is authentic that he actually dictated this book, but and it is authentic that he actually dictated the book. Do you understand? If it is authentic that he dictated a book of 11 volumes from his mind, you would not know the importance and the technicalities involved in what he is dictating until you can read the book and understand what it is saying. Wallahi. You would wonder at who Dar-Qutni was. And that's why some of the scholars have said that لَمْ يَأْتِ بَعْدَهُ مِثْلُهُ. That after Dar-Qutni, the like of Dar-Qutni has not come. They are great eminent people in this ummah. When he says he makes a deal of Imam al-Nasa'i over Imam Muslim, it's not just a talk. It is someone who knows what it takes that is talking. Lakin, what the majority of the scholars are of is that Imam Bukhari is to Imam Muslim. That is what we are upon to. So, Imam al-Nasa'i is from the greatest scholars of hadith in this ummah. Alayhi rahmatullah. And he has, like we said, many books apart from Sunan al-Nasa'i that the Ummah has benefited from. So he also repeated this hadith from Abu Muhammad al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhumah that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, da' ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka. Abandon that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. And the hadith is authentic, as we have mentioned. I didn't remember to tell you that Al-Imam al-Nasa'i was stupendously rich. He was in stupendous wealth. He ate a chicken every day. Imam al-Nasa'i, not just, not layer, so, foul. Maybe I should say foul. You know, when I say foul now, you know what I'm talking about. A cock. He ate a cock every day. He was stupendously rich. He dressed in the best of clothes. Imam al-Nasa'i. So much that one of his teachers, Al-Imam ibn Miskin, one of his most learned teachers, because he stayed in Egypt for a number of years. Al-Imam ibn Miskin is from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, even when he hated to be a teacher of Imam al-Nasa'i. He didn't get that. He didn't like to be a teacher of Nasa'i, but he's a teacher of Nasa'i. Imam al-Nasa'i said, you will be my teacher, my first. So when he came to the Jilsa of Imam ibn Miskin, when Imam al-Nasa'i came, he sent him out. He said, go out. I don't want to see you here. The Imam al-Nasa'i will go out. He will stay by the window. So, everything that is read to Al-Imam ibn Miskin, Imam al-Nasa'i is writing it down. There are about 23 of such hadith in Sunan al-Nasa'i. About 23 in Sunan al-Nasa'i. Imam al-Nasa'i, when he's reporting it, he will not say, Haddathana ibn Miskin. He will say, قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنَا أَسْمَعُ. The hadith was read to him, I was verifying the report while I was listening. because he was not in the class. He was sent out, he come and stood at the window. When Ibn Miskin narrates and he there is confirming the narrations, he is writing it down. So Imam Nasa'i says, Kuri alayhi wa anas. So that is his way of reporting from Ibn Miskin. Look at the insult, the justice, fairness with this question. He didn't say Adesana. I was hearing the Kuri alayhi wa anas. It was read to him while I was listening. Alayhi rahmatullah. Many scholars have said many reasons. Why was Imam Ibn Miskin sending Imam al-Nasa'i out of his durus? Today, the scholars who teach today, everybody is in the class. Every kullu salihin wa talihin is there. In the early times, there are some people teaching, they want them in their durus. You don't ever come to me again. And if it is today, they say, Malam, could you say Allah pa? Why will you say I should not come? See Allah, ma. See Allah. Some mothers went to an alim one day and knocked to enter his house. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. They didn't hear anything. They went back. One of them met me and said, Ustaz, Allah, you have to tell this Ustaz to fear Allah. Ma. Did Allah not tell you that? When the killer lakum urji'u, farji'u huwa askalakum. Did he not also say حَتَّى تَسْتَعْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا? He could have broken the door and he could have poked your eyes and you, there would be no kisos. You know there is no kisos. If someone peeps into a house and someone who is looking at you, he took him something in the eyes, will not revenge. There is no kisos. The Prophet said that to a companion, he was peeping and saying, if I put this comb into your eyes, there will be no kisos for it. You will not say, I want to revenge. So there is no kisos for it. So someone came and knocked the door, salamu alaikum. I'm sure he would have said that to me more than 3 times. Because it's not permissible to seek to enter a house more than 3 times. Salamu alaikum. Salamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, it happens. Assalamu alaikum. So the person made answer, they came and asked me, told you, Malam, you have to tell you that to fear Allah. How can someone prevent me from asking questions of Islam? He says, Fas'alu ahla zikri, kuntum la ta'alamun. Ask the people who know if you don't know. Did he say the people who know must answer? He said he must answer. Yes, he said in the hadith of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Man su'ila an ilmin fa'akamahu al-jamahu Allahu bilijamin min nari yawmi qiyamah. Fa'akamahu. He hides it. He does not want the people to know it. But this one does not want to give you the response. Perhaps he sees some things about you. Perhaps he's hearing some things about his response. Perhaps, it's not hiding the knowledge from you. Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, alayhi rahmatullah, one of the teachers of Al-Imam Malik, alayhi rahmatullah, he collected from Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He was working and someone came to him and said, hadith me. They narrate hadith to me. Say, an Allah wa hadith. I will not narrate hadith to you. Hadith me. Narrate hadith to me, not you. I will not narrate hadith to you. The person quoted the hadith to a person that he is begging to narrate a hadith to him. So have you forgotten that Prophet said, Mufila ayin, ahun fa katawahu, hajamu la bil jam. You know what is yayin yayin? I said, ana ukasiru lijam. Me, I will scatter that lijam you are talking about. That's the way the scholars of hadith are. They are usually bold people. Imam Qutaybah ibn Sa'id, one of the teachers of Ashab Kutub al-Sitta, hold this. Ashab Kutub al-Sitta, they have 12 of them. But all the Ashab Kutub al-Sitta reported from them. One of them is Qutaybah ibn Sa'id. One of them is Muhammad ibn Musanna and others. Bundar, Muhammad ibn Bashar, and others. There are 12 of them. So Qutaybah ibn Sa'id saw someone narrating a hadith saying, Haddathana Like many people do today, people read Sahih Bukhari to people. And you just hear حدثنا محمد بن مسنة حدثنا شعبة حدثنا سفيان الثوري حدثنا like that وحدثنا عبد الله بن يوسف التونسي حدثنا مالك حدثنا نافع حدثنا عبد الله بن عمر قال قال رسول this typical إسناد now بخاري that Imam Bukhari said حدثنا الإمام بن عبد الله بن يوسف التونسي is from the teachers of الإمام البخاري and he has reported from الإمام مالك this is typical Bukhari إسناد عبد الله بن يوسف التونسي حدثنا مالك بن أنس أو أخبرنا لأن مالك لا يحدث الناس Imam Malik does not read hadith to people except 20 he read to Imam Hisham ibn Ammar for 20 lashes. Imam Bukhari, Imam Malik does not read hadith to people. Qala hadathana, he doesn't do it. When you come, no matter how learned you be, he will give you muwatta. You go and memorize it and come. So you'll be reading it to him and you say, Akane Kawai. You're saying, yes, it is like that. He's making iqrar of your qira'ah or tasweeb of your akhtar. Yes, you are right. Yes, you are. So they will say, akhbarana malik. They won't say, haddathana malik. Except in 20 narrations. One of his students, Hisham ibn Ammar. The same thing as we are talking about Ibn Miskin. He can't say, haddithni ya malik. Yeah. Malik, me, I won't take Akhbara now. You will read it to me. So it became a nuisance, as if, so to speak. He was beaten in the dust and taken away. 20 lashes. Malik is narrating a hadith in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you are making noise. He was taken away and given 20 lashes. He came back to Imam Malik and said, on the day of Qiyamah, it is myself and you for these 20 lashes. The ulama, they don't want that. Let's tackle it now. Because on the day of Qiyamah, there are many things to resolve. Please, how will I, how, what will we do so that the matter will not be He said, for every lash I was giving, you will read one hadith to me. Every lash of the king, one hadith. So for 20 lashes, he had 20 hadiths. So that's why you hear Malik saying Haddasana, or the students of Malik saying Haddasana Malik. If you read any students of Malik saying Haddasana Malik, know that Hisham ibn Ammar was there. Like that. So the teachers have, they don't just say anything and teach anybody. Say this one, don't come here again. You don't come here. If you do that now, hey. People say, ah, that one. Only Allah knows what he's doing. One day, some people should not come to the Makaranta again. They used to do so. Radiallahu anhu. Alayhim rahmatullah. So, those people will be reading Sahih al-Bukhari to people. And they will just say, Kala, Kala hadasa, Kala, Kala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man khayrukum man ta'allam al-Qur'ana wa 'allamahu. The Prophet, Manzoo Allah Eche, the best of you, I can't say that in Hausa, but that's what I'm saying in English. But the best of you is the one who has learned the Quran and teaches the Quran. Khalas, the next hadith. If you read Sahih Bukhari like that, you are doing injustice to Sahih Bukhari. SubhanAllah. If you read Sahih Bukhari like this, it is injustice to Sahih Bukhari. You don't read Bukhari like this, ikhwan. Read Bulughul Maram like that. Read Arba'un al-Nawawi like that. Hatta, read Adabul Mufrad like that. Like in Bukhari, if you read it like that, you are on Zalim. If you are looking for Zalim, hands up. You are number one Zalim. If you read Bukhari like that, you are being unfair to Bukhari. in every isnad you see in Sahih Bukhari, there is ilm there. He's not there putting it there. The first hadith. What is the first hadith? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Go. The first person that Al-Imam al-Bukhari started collecting hadith from, Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Zubair al-Humaydi, is Makki. And that hadith of Al-Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah is starting with that hadith with an Imam who is Makki, because Wahy is coming from Makkah. So that he started with Al-Humaydi, it's not just that he started with Al-Humaydi. He started from Al-Humaydi because Wahy started from Makkah. Not only that, Al-Humaydi is from the tribe of Khadija radiallahu anha. So there is connection. Every isnad you see in Bukhari is not just there. There's a reason for it. And where you don't even see isnad, also there is a reason for it. Because there are some narrations you see inside the book called Sahih Bukhari that are not part of Sahih Bukhari. But I'm sure they will not say all this. So when someone reads Sahih Bukhari like that, it's being unfair to Bukhari. So the ulama don't say to people what the people do not need. Ali ibn Abi Talib, this is authentic to him, mawkufan, that he said, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرِ أُكُولِهِمْ. What do people do on the basis of... Imam Qutaybah ibn Sa'id saw one of his students reading hadith to people. He said, are these people you are reading this thing to? Not because it's just reading a hadith, qala Rasulullah, because it's mentioning Asaneed and Rijal. These are the people you are mentioning these things to. Something must be wrong somewhere. So the ulama don't just start reading narrations or doing some things regarding ulum to people until they are able to, you know, stomach those things. And when they have to do that, they will bring it down to the level that the people will understand. So it will be better for the people reading Bukhari not to say hadathana at all. They should not say hadathana. I think that's better, cool? They should read it mahzuf al-asanid. I think that because when you are mentioning those asanid, and you didn't say anything, I was in a masjid, I was performing wudu, the person who was there was saying that he's reading Bukhari. When you read the isnad, I was waiting to hear something. He didn't hear it. I said, Manzuala Yeche. I think this one is Zolim. He has mentioned a lot of fawaid hadithia. He didn't mention anyone. He just left it. Call it Manzuala Yeche. Nah. There was a day also I heard someone reading Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Because the ulama consider Sunan al-Tirmidhi to be more difficult than Sahih al-Bukhari. Because who are yaskuru ilan? So, the time was saying hadathana Tirmidhi, wa qala hadith hasan and sahih, and Tirmidhi said the hadith is hasan and sahih. Do you say anything? Do you say like that? Okay, we'll read one of such now. So he said, wa qala Tirmidhi. And Imam Tirmidhi said, this hadith is hadithun hasanun sahihun. So what does it mean? Hadith is hasan and sahih. And a hadith be hasan at the same time sahih. So what does it mean? So you say hadith is hasan and sahih. There are two meanings for it. It's either one of it or the other. Firstly, what is hadith and sahih? Hadith is sahih. If you say, oh, the hadith is sahih, the hadith is not sahih. The hadith that is sahih is ma rawahu adlun tamud. Don't say dabit. Tam. Ma rawahu adlun tamud dabit. Bittisal sanad bighayri shudhudin wala illatun qadihah. Someone, five things. Yes. Ma rawahu adlu. What a pious person, I would say, a report. Because an adl is Adala is al-Islam wal-ilmu bi-adami mufassiqin. That someone is a Muslim and you are sure that he does not do anything that can make him become a fasiq. You are sure he's a Muslim. One. And then he does not do anything with you and say this guy is fasiq. Fisk is irtikabul kabir or kabira. That is to be acting upon something that is a clear sin, major sin. Like someone shaving the beard. It cannot be adlung unless he repents and then begins to leave the beard. Someone who drags his loincloth on the ground can never be an adlung for the scholars of hadith. So adlung, what he reports, someone who is not known, not that he's not known, it is known that he does not act upon major sins. It is known that he does not do it. So this is adlung. The second one, tamud dhabt. His ability to retain something is tam, perfect, complete. If you say to him 1, 2, 3, 4, ask him 50 years to come, he will say, you said 1, 2, 3, 4. Tamud dhabt. So what this man reports, he says, the Tifali Sanad, he must be known to have, we were mentioning Imam Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tumaisi. So there's a tissal between Imam Bukhari and Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tumaisi. There's link between the two. Bukhari is a student of Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tumaisi. Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tumaisi is a student of Imam Malik. There's another fa'ida in that tissal. I said people mention the Asanid of Bukhari without mentioning fa'id. Let me not be from them. This is one of the reasons why in the whole of Bukhari you will not see any hadith by Imam Shafi. Because Al-Imam Bukhari had about 6 students who were the students of Malik, so he did not need to report from Shafi. Yet Shafi is one of the best students of Al-Imam Malik, Muhammad ibn Idris, Abu Abdullah Shafi, is one of the best students of Al-Imam Malik. But Al-Imam Bukhari, alayhi rahmatullah, did not meet him. So if he needs to report from Malik through Shafi'i, he needs 2 people in between himself and Malik. Do we understand? It will mean somebody who has collected from Shafi'i, then Malik. But there are people he had. One of them is Hisham ibn Ammar. One of them is Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tunaisi. And others, about 6 of them. That he can report directly from, without an intermediary. So instead of reporting from 2 people in between him and Imam Malik, he will report with 1 person between himself and Malik. So that was what happened. So one of them is Abdullah ibn Yusuf al-Tunaisi. He is a student of Imam Malik. Then Imam Malik was a student of Nafi, the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar, who was with him for 3 years. Then Abdullah ibn Umar took from the power. You see this is the sword. It's linkage. It must not be broken. Now we say, oh, this one later came later. There's no linkage between the 2 of them. It must not be broken. That is the 3rd condition. Then it must not be shav. Ma rawahu thiqatun aw rajulun hasan al-hadith mukhalifan liman huwa arjahu minhu. Someone who is a thiqa, reliable narrator of hadith, or someone whose hadith are graded as Hassan, referred to as Saduq. If he reports a hadith that contradicts what greater people report, his report is weak. It's called what? Shav. The other one is that it must not contain illatun qadiha. Like the riwayat of one of the students of Imam Ikrimah, from Imam Ikrimah. What's his name? The one who reports from Imam Ikrimah with Ikrab. What's his name? Simak ibn Harb. You didn't remind me quickly. Imam Simak ibn Harb is Sikha. Imam Ikrima, Tabi, Imam Al-Barbari, Sikha, reliable person. But each time he and he is his student, well, each time he reports from him, Imam Ibn Harb mixes up the narrations. Yes, Sikha from Sikha, they met, but the narration is weak. Another kind of that is Ma'amar ibn Rashid and Qatada ibn Di'amah al-Sadusi. Ma'amar ibn Rashid and Qatada, Naam. Ma'amar met Qatada, but at the time he met Qatada, he said, I was a little young boy, I did not memorize anything. If you see him, it's not, yes, Ma'amar ibn Rashid, Imam. Qatada ibn Di'amah al-Sadusi, Imam. They met. So if you look at their age, their date of death dates and things like this, yes, they met. If you bring the report from Ma'amar and Ibn Rashid and Qatada ibn Di'amah al-Sadusi, Ulama will tell you, but there's still Latin. There are many kinds of things like that. Many. So when a hadith does not have these two things and has the first three things that we had mentioned, the hadith is mentioned to be what? Sahih. And the difference between hadith on Sahih and hadith on Hassan is the simple fact that for hadith on Sahih, you have the reporter as Tamudut, the one who, regarding whom we said that his ability to memorize is what? But for hadith on Hassan, the reporter is just what? Khatifu Dabt. His own ability to memorize is lesser than the first one. Khalas, that's the difference. So how can a hadith be Hassan at the same time Sahih? Two ways. One, it has two chains of narration. One is Sahih, the other is what? Hassan. So they combine the two to make you know that it has two chains of narration. But if the hadith is a single chain of narration, the reason why it could have been described as Hassan and Sahih is that a reporter there, regarding whom the person giving the ruling considers him, is he a sikha, that is a reliable reporter whose reports are sahiha, or a saduq, also a reliable reporter, but his reports are what? Hasana. So instead of saying, I'm a sikha, instead of saying sahih, or hasan, he links the two and said what? Hasanun sahih. So these are the two ways the hadith can be Hassan and Sahih. Imma, two chains, two different chains, one Hassan, one Sahih. And to make you understand that there are two chains, you combine it, Hassan and Sahih. Or yes, it is a single chain, but as a reporter there, we regarding whom the Imam is here and there. Is it Hassan? Is it Sahih? Then he says Hassan and Sahih. So you know that he could be Hassan reporter and he could be a reporter of hadith of Sahih. So which one is greater? The one they say Sahih alone, or the one that they say Hassan Sahih? Which one is more, which one is stronger? Both Sahih or Hassan Sahih? Sahih. Why? Tamud Dab. And the one that Hassan Sahih is either Tamud Dab or Khatif. That is from one perspective. What about the one that has come with two chains of narration? One Sahih, one Hassan. It will definitely be stronger than the one that has one chain of narration, but Sahih. Do you understand? So you also have two answers. You don't understand. A hadith that is Hassan and Sahih, because it has two chains of narration. One is Hassan, one is Sahih. It's stronger than a hadith that is just Sahih. Because it's not Sahih, this one is also Sahih, but this one has another Hassan extra. Sahih, yes, there are brackets there. Do you understand? But this one has another extra Hassan isna, whether Hassan only Gairi or Hassan only Zati. It adds to the power of that one that is already Sahih. So, but the one that is Hassan and Sahih is lesser than the one that is Sahih. So you also have two answers depending on the kind of narration you are using that will give us the answer. So this hadith has been reported by Imam Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, and it has come from the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, his grandchild from his daughter, radiallahu anha, Fatima, Al-Zahra, that the Prophet, that he memorized from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, da ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuk. Leave that, or abandon that which makes you doubt, for that which does not make you doubt. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. عليكم السلام. Ah, don't ask about hakiko first. Oh, hakiko. Which one? Hakiko or hakiko? Let someone who has asked a question related to this hadith ask first. If someone has a question related to this hadith. It's not mutawatir. The best of what you can get here is that it is hadithun mashhur. Hadithun mashhur. He said why? The first reason is that it is only reported by three companions. And a hadith that will be mutawatir must start from 7, 8, 9, 10 above companions before you can read it, because hadith mutawatir is ma rawahu jama'atun nas fi kulli tabaqatin. Every tabaqa must be jama'atun nas. Now, lugatan, three people, they are jama'a, but they are not the jama'a that is intended by the scholars of hadith here. Their own being jama'a of three here will only go to the hadith being what? Mashhur. So this hadith is mashhur. That's one reason. The second reason is that Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah qala al-kalam fi takhrij al-hadith. He was extensive in discussing the chains of narrations of this hadith. It is hadith mutawatir la yub'id al-nujha. He will not keep it away from telling us that this hadith is mutawatir. And he has not said that the hadith is mutawatir. Ahadith al-mutawatira. We do not say that a hadith is mutawatir until we have seen a scholar of hadith. Not just somebody reading hadith like I'm reading to you. The ulama ajilla saying that this hadith is mutawatir. So when you want to quote that hadith is mutawatir, you say al-Imam ibn Kathir said that hadith is mutawatir. Or al-Imam al-Bukhari said that hadith is mutawatir. Or the hadith Imam al-Tirmidhi said that the hadith is, it must be from an authority in the science of hadith, that the hadith is mutawatir. So this hadith, the best of what we can say of it is that it is hadithun mashhur. The kind of hadith we can say mutawatir is hadithu sadiq al-muslim. And that's, in that case, would be mutawatir al-ma'nawi. Now, وبينهما أمور مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس ومن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام. So you know things that are halal, you know things that are haram, but some are not clear. I don't know that I'm not clear to you. The best of them is استبرأ الدين والعرض, that you leave it. And the second evidence will be this hadith, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. But for some of us, it is haram. That is what is clear to some people, that it is haram. They are not in doubt. So for those people, they will fundamentally leave it. But you will be encouraged to leave it. For those who are able to confirm that it is haram from their own knowledge, Allahu A'lam, they will be commanded to leave it. But for those who are not able to affirm that it is haram, they will be encouraged to leave it. because in case it is haram. That's why he brought that example to us, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, الرَّعِي يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَى يُوشَكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. He says, أَلَا لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى أَلَا وَإِنَّ حِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. We will encourage you to leave. Alaykum as-salam. Aba Ishaq, anta la, ana la, asmahuka an tas'alani.
Regarding the application of this Ma'arij Bukha ila Ma'arij Bukha,
Hajj Ibn. Oh, you are a chairman of Hajj now. You are a Hajj man.
During the stay at Mina, we have people stay inside the boundary and we have places in the NPR and most of the
Mina NPR. We deliver that here. You see, the reason why I'm laughing is that the first time I come Hajj, I was going to fight some people because of that. So I will not stay here. They say, what? I say, look up. Mina Enter, Muzdalifa start here. We are supposed to be Mina, not Muzdalifa. So I went to see some people. And when I discussed with them, I was still not pleased. But what I read in the books, before I came, you know, one was thinking that perhaps he may not be able to perform Hajj again. This only one way I go come, I'm not going to waste time. So I was, you know, the way someone will be. But the first time one is performing Hajj. So I was so worried. Like, if someone gave an answer that alhamdulillah brought some courage to the mind, that those locations don't have a line mark. They don't have lines as their mark. Don't have lines as their mark. They have areas as their boundaries. Boundaries are areas, not line marks. If you watch those signposts, they make it like a line like this, encircling Mina from aerial view. Those signposts are making like a circle like this for Mina. So the point where they go, if you can draw an imaginary line, does not necessarily mean that that is the boundary of Mina. You know, boundaries of lands are areas. It's not a straight line. You understand? They are not line marks like an area is lined like this. This is a line mark now. So anybody who comes here will say, oh no, you are out of the boundary. But areas are boundary. That's why around countries, you have boundary cities or boundary villages. Those villages, sometimes they will claim one country, at another time they will claim another country. Because boundaries cannot be just ruled like that, except in cases where you have rivers. But those rivers themselves don't completely go around the boundaries. So, alhamdulillah, the explanation for me, alhamdulillah, was satisfactory, that the boundaries are not lines, they are areas. So once people stay there, they are still within the boundaries of Mina. They are not in Muzdalifa. Even when the signpost is reading, Muzdalifa starts here and Mina ends here. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay. Technique. Yes, the Prophet also made technique for Hassan and other children. Some of the ulama say technique is only restricted to the Prophet Muhammad. But I don't know why they have said so. Because you are for taqsis with dalil. If you want to say it's only restricted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have dalil, we need dalil. لِأَنَّ الْأَصْلَ فِي أَفْعَالِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ التَّشْرِعِيَّةِ. The basic ruling about whatever the Prophet does is that we too can do it. So if you say that, no, it is only for the Prophet, he must give us a dalil. But the dalil they are giving is that they did it tabarrukan. وَلَا يُتَبَرَّكُ بِرِقْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا الرَّسُولِ. This has a wajh. that's also very strong. So for me now, I don't say people should do it, and I don't say they should do it. They should not do it. Then to say that you can't make tabarruk, seeking blessing from the feet of anybody except that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a strong evidence. But the Quran mentioned the value of that. Said what goes the teeth? The gum will be kept strong. The scholars, people like Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, have mentioned a lot of fawaid. So if there is, it is something that carrying fawaid for the ummah, I mean virtues for the ummah, la yukhaffaf. The Rasul, it will not be said that no, it's for Rasul alone. Do we understand? It means it's more than tabarruk. Allahu alam. So for me now, as I speak, I can't say do it, I can't say don't do it, because the matter is still not clear to me for these reasons that I have mentioned. What about the naming? You can do it the first day if you like. You can do it the seventh day if you like. The Prophet did first day, and he mentioned seventh day. Anyhow, they gave back to a child, Ibrahim, for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He woke up the morning and was telling the people, hey, Allah has given me a child, wasammaytuhu Ibrahim. Wasammaytuhu bi ismi Abi Ibrahim. They gave back to a child for me yesterday, and I've named him Ibrahim. No sitting, no malam, no clue Allah kapauku. He just announced it. And he's the father of the child. He didn't go and call Abu Bakr child, move to sit down around. Then start, you know, he just announced it to the people, and that's all. And the children that we have brought to him, hey, Prophet, we are giving back to the child. Immediately you say, this is Ismu Abdullah. He named almost three or four Abadallah, the son of Talha and others. So that people say they are scholars of Sunnah, they are the one who will name somebody. We ask them, where is the Dalil? You didn't come along to come and name your child. Where is the Dalil? Oh, you didn't go to the mosque. Because oh, Amasalan Shide Sunashi. Why does he have to go Amasalan Shide Sunashi? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas was brought to Rasulullah. Adi Rasulullah. Adi Rasulullah. And then the Rasulullah called people, call Abu Bakr, say, ah, please, we never finish. Call Abu Bakr, call Usman, call Ali, call Omar, call so and so. Then get that. It's not saying Kula Lata Kau Kuku.
That's what
it's
saying.
Yeah, that's what you say to them. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And that issue of the mosque.
Okay. Come on, announcing the mosque. The Prophet announced in the mosque, so that may not be wrong. His brother, so and so, Allah gave him a child yesterday. He has named it, so he can announce by himself. Thanks, yeah. But to come and sit down for that does not have any basis. That's why you sitting and say, we want to name a child. No basis. Brother, have you named the child or you say I'm waiting for the seventh day? When someone calls and says, Allah gave me a child, ask, have you named me or which one are you doing? Is it first day sooner or seventh day sooner you are doing? You can say seventh day, you can say first day. If you call and say, what is the you name the child though? But most times, those who really, really have some knowledge about this, they will not wait for you to tell them, to ask them if it is the first day. If it is the first day, they'll tell you immediately. Maybe it is the first day you are phoning somebody, phone him and tell him the name. Maybe it is the seventh day, don't say the name. If you want to wait for the sunnah of seventh day. Some people do 8 days, it is wrong. Some people who say they are people of sunnah, they do 8 days and it is wrong. No basis. In fact, the mazhab of the Jamhur is that it is 7 days. The seventh day, the only people who hold it on the 8th day, they are the Malikiyah. And that position is wrong. So the Sunnah is the 7th day, Yawm al-Sabi'ihi. The 7th day. The day is the 7th. So it is not 8 days. So how do you count it? It's simple. If you give birth to a child now, today is the first day, before Guru Bisham. Once you give birth to a child now, he has met the first day. Today is what? Yawmul Ahad. So Yawmul Ahad, Yawmul Ismail, Yawmul Sulasa, Arbi'a, Khamis, Juma, Sabt. Yawmul Sabt will be his Sadi'i, his seventh day. The Yawmul Sabt, not on Ahad. So that is Sadi'i. When it is after Guru, you have gone into Yawmul Ahad already. Yawmul Ismail already. So you start counting his name, Sulasa, Arbi'a, Khamis, Juma, Sabt, then Ahad again. Yeah. When it is after Salat al-Fajr, it is that same day. No? There is no problem. It is just Nahara of that day. This is what Ja'alna Layla one Nahara. So the Layl comes first. That's why we make Tarawih in the night. If the same moon is started now, that night from Guru Bisham, Ramadan has started. Cool, Akawa? The month of Ramadan starts from when the moon is sighted. The moon is not sighted in the morning after Salat al-Subh. And then Allah, many places in the Quran, Ja'alna Layla wa Nahara, Layla wa Nahara. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum salam. There are some scholars who have the opinion that Nahar before Laylu. Sheikh Isada Hikha. So that's how it is. Some scholars are of that opinion. Allahu A'lam. If I sit here, what is most convincing to me is that Layl before Nahar. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ. In many places in the Quran, Layla wa Nahar, Layla wa Nahar. Alaykum as-salam. Last question, inshallah. Three. Okay, make the three in one. And a brother here too. Okay, one, two. We will say it, inshallah. Not your question. Ask your own question. Now it's your question.
About the wedding, where other people do it in the evening that they say 24 hours left in the
evening. Which person's sunnah is that one? It is saying that Sabi'ihi, the seventh day that the man is alive, it didn't say 7 days after he's alive. That is the essence of the Idafa. My saying he, yeah, it's not just that I want to say he. The seventh day of his existence, not 7 days after he is born. The seventh day that I say, okay, he has been living on earth. So if he is born now before Guru Bisham, you want to deny him the fact that he has witnessed Yawmul Ahad today? Do we get out of him? The second question. The second, Abi. What shows that the sign that Allah loves a man is that he writes Kabul for him from the people. Who are those people who love them? So now you tell me. Do you understand? A man of innovation that the people of innovation love. You don't count that as love. Is that the one that Allah will tell Jibreel that, tell the angels, tell the people that I love them. And as Jibreel is coming down, other angels are asking, what did Allah say? They say, Allah say, I love so and so, so you too must love him. And then the message comes down to it is spread on the surface of the earth that Allah loves you so and so, everyone must love him. Is it regarding the person of innovation, the one who is under the curse of Allah and his messenger? Yes, everyone who is an innovator. The Prophet said in an authentic hadith, let me not use that one, let me use another one. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man ahadatha muhdathan أو مصدقاء لعنة الله عليه والملائكة والناس أجمعين. Is that the one that will be shouted from the heaven that this man is Lord? It cannot be he. Okay. The hadith I wanted to use is that Allah has prevented his forgiveness from a person of innovation. How is an innovator, Allah will not forgive him. If Allah forgive me, Allah will not forgive me. The hadith is Hassan, it's in Sunan ibn Majah. Until he meets that innovation. As long as it's inside innovation, he will be wasting his time. In the hadith, it has placed hijab, a screen between him and Allah. If you seek forgiveness, you will waste Allah's forgiveness. And if he is inside that video, he is just wasting his time until he leaves the bid'ah. It's very bad. When someone is doing something, they say it is bid'ah. He is saying, we do it. We agree, he's saying a bid'ah. Do what you like. We will not do what you like. Allah will do what he likes with you. The third question.
After the ablution, you need measure of person of freedom. What is that mention about the person of freedom after the ablution?
Well, it's permissible sometimes. Because the Prophet is known to have raised his finger sometimes when he made Shahada. Sometimes when he did Shahada, he pointed his finger. They say if we are doing it sometimes after we do, it's not wrong. Yes, not always, because it is not known that he did it after we do. But because he will do it sometimes when he makes Shahada, that sometimes can be sometimes during we do, sometimes after we do. At other situations. Allahu A'lam. The last question, please. Yes, this hadith is evidence. He mentioned it before you came. You can give the rights to the grandfather. You know the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam named Hassan and Hussein, and he is their grandfather. That is evidence. The grandfather is also the father. The grandfather is the father. The great grandfather is the father. Down. That's why the Prophet will refer to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Adi. Was a man to who be this me Adi Ibrahim, my father. So the great great grandfather can refer to the great 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 grandchild as my son. Because they know me, I know you are picking. So it's not wrong that the grandfather's great grandfather's name is Suleiman and you are Ibrahim, for example. So you bear Ibrahim Suleiman, it's not wrong. Because you are still you are a son of the Suleiman. We'll stop here inshallah for today. In Ramadan, people should be busy with ibadat. People do a lot of things in Ramadan that is not known to be from the sunnah of Ramadan. If you ask us, how do we know that it is not known from the sunnah of Ramadan? Because we will say because they did not report it, it has not been reported to us. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي خَيْرًا لَسَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَلَوْ سَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ لَا نُسْلَ إِلَيْنَا. If they had done it before us, it would have been reported to us. The ulama never used to set up tafsir in Ramadan. If they say they used to be, they should bring it. One person who makes effort in the science of hadith was asked this question. Personally, I asked him, is there evidence? He said, yes, there is evidence. I said, where is the evidence? He quoted a narration from Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sadusi in the book by Imam ibn Rajab al-Hambali, Lataif al-Ma'arif. Firstly about the book is that it has a lot of weak narration. So when I saw the asar, Imam ibn Rajab didn't say in that book, in Lataif al-Ma'arif, whether it is authentic or not. Alhamdulillah, I went to check the isnad. It is weak. Munkar. The isnad is very weak. It has two chains. I think if I'm not forgetting, it's been long, almost 5 years now. One of them is in Musannaf al-Razak, the other is in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. They are both weak, very weak narrations. It's not authentic for father. But I didn't want to get back to him because he's an elderly person and just end the matter there. But we know, I know that you, I am the one receiving the fatwa and I know that that fatwa is wrong. does not have any evidence for people to start saying in Ramadan they are doing tafsir of Quran in Ramadan. There is no evidence for it. Wa alaykum as-salam. You know, we have read a hadith here about it now. That man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa radd. So if we want to know that it is not bid'ah, we will be asking what is the amru of Rasul on it. That means it does not have evidence. It does not have the approval of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Did I answer that question? I didn't answer it directly. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna wa huwa radd. Anyone who does any act which does not have our approval, it will be rejected. So the question is, for the tafsir in Ramadan, does it have approval of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Hatul Kareem, it does not have approval. That's how I was saying, وَلَوْ كَانَ فِيهِ خَيْرًا If there is good in it, لَسَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ The Salaf al-Saleh, the companions and those who came after them, they would do it before us. Huh? Those people, they don't want to leave any good deed except that they do it. The companions, no good deed. Any good deed that they didn't do is not good deed. That's a good deed. When you say something is good, you say, please, tell me one companion did. No companion did it. It is not good deed. They did not leave anything unturned. رضي الله عنهم. You need to read Quran and see what Allah refers to them as. No good deed they didn't do. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Wait. Have I been a little bit clear?
Yeah.
Okay, now.
I had somebody try to make with the hadith of Jibril.
Alayhi salatu wa salam. Alayhi
salatu wa salam. You can establish judgment with that. That's one. Then two.
What the companions and those who came after, who witnessed that, including people like Zayd ibn Thabit, including people like Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, including people like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, will do is not to teach people and make tafsir in Ramadan. And they understand the very sunnah al-Quran. What they will do rather is they get busy with Quran. Even people like Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, Imam Dar al-Hijra, who is not known for anything except teaching. Let me say something today. It is mentioned that Imam Malik is not even known for a lot of nawafil. Nawafil. He's not known for it. All his life is teaching. Imam Malik is not known to be performing nafil. Teaching. Karatu, kazo. Despite that, in Ramadan, he will not do karatu. Imam Malik, despite that, he will not do karatu. Second evidence. For this one, is it clear? Okay.
This permission can't be given to Tafsir that some people have been doing it before the coming of Ramadan.
Every day. They have been doing it every day before Ramadan. If they have been doing it every day before Ramadan, no problem. But in Ramadan, they do it every day, there is no evidence. Because there is clear difference between it. And actually, if you ask them sincerely that this Tafsir, what is it? They say it is Ramadan Tafsir. وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ They know it is Ramadan Tafsir. Huh? Yeah, so all the Malami, the one who traveled to Saudi Arabia, sit down in Saudi Arabia and start saying that Khilafah is better than Democracia is better than Khilafah, it is in Ramadan, come and defend himself. All the Malams, they have forgotten their books of Tafsir. It is in Ramadan, they will go and start dusting it. For people, it is in Ramadan, they will be reading to Fatu Sini of Nahu. The Nahu that they will be using to explain Quran in the evening. So all these things, they are not right. So these people, these so-called Malams, after Ramadan, they hang boots. You know when they say someone hangs boots, they hang boots. In Ramadan, they go and drop boots. They become to international player. La. This deen was not brought like that. كل ما أقول هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك. في أفضل رمضان إن شاء الله. أو دلك إمام مالك. يا مالكي.